Oh my! You laugh. I'm going to keep it in.
I'm actually hurting from that. Oh, Darren Lake, legend. Oh, right. That's why I know you got to make a cut.
Oh my God! I'm just shocked.
I thought you'd laugh at that.
And welcome to episode 21 of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure.
Yeah, this week we're looking at a classic.
An absolute clackic?
An absolute clackic.
That's a good start.
Yeah. Well, I'm Matt.
And I am Darren.
And this week is
War Games. Yeah, 1983's War Games. Nice.
83, that's so long ago now.
I know, only if you count in terms of years.
Well...
That's a line from a film that some people might get.
What is it?
Stand By Me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I'm sure we'll cover at some point.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. Right then. Well, without any further ado,
mm-hmm.
You got any facts for me from 1983?
Yeah, let's head and look at some facts.
Okay.
Oh, so I've had a bit of tinker with the format, Darren. So this week you'll get... Oh, yeah.
Doing this again, are we okay?
So what you do is you'll get some facts, and one of them, or two of them, I don't know, some of them, one of them is false.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So here are some facts from 1983. The Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers debuts. So
okay.
That's interesting. It's about the right time, isn't it? 83?
I reckon.
Did
yeah.
you play Mario?
No, I was never really a gamer, to be honest.
All right.
I remember it was everywhere.
It was
for years and years and years.
The children's show Fraggle Rock debuted.
Was that 83? Yeah, I reckon it's probably 83.
Nice. Do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember the tune? And did you do that thing at school with down at Fraggle Rock? Grab a Fraggle by his cock. Yeah.
So jar. Yeah. I think everyone did it.
Where did that come from, though?
Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Another fact is Christopher Reeve buys the Batmobile from Adam West's show for $676,000.
Yeah. I think that's a lie.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, come on, okay. One superhero to another, maybe.
Okay.
Right, Cliff Young, a 61-year-old potato farmer, won a 544-mile endurance race because he ran throughout the night while the younger professional athlete slept.
He ran how long? Far?
544 miles. But
in
when
one
the,
night?
No, not in one night. But but when the athletes were sleeping at night time, he kept on going. I mean, I'm not sure he did the whole thing.
No.
But yeah, he probably had minimal sleep and just...
Okay.
It's interesting, isn't it?
So true?
Maybe it's true.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I'll go true.
And finally, Papa John. You know, the pizza dude.
Yeah.
The pizza dude.
Yeah, the not very good. Well, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you. He sold his car back in 1983 to help start up his pizza company. He later located and bought the car back in 2009.
I'll go false with that as well.
Right, okay. Well... let's have a look. So, of all of them, there was only one false one.
Uh-oh.
And okay. I thought you might hit the nail on the head, and that was Christopher Reeve buying the Batmobile. Yeah, you got me there.
Yeah. It's not like you to go for a Batman or Superman reference at all, is it?
All right, okay, just call me predictable.
Okay, predictable.
So those are your facts from 1983. Nice. So I suppose the only thing we could do now is head on to the charts.
Okay, then. War Games was released on the 19th of May 1983, but only at the Cannes Festival on a limited release. It went on general release on the 3rd of June 1983 in the USA. And so this week, we are looking at the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 29th of May 1983. At number 10, it's a fall of two places for Spandau Ballet and True. And at number 9, it's another faller, it's Heaven 17 and Temptation. At number 8 is a climb of 11 places from last week, it's Booker Newbery III and Love Town. At number 7 is another climber, 6 places for Joe Boxes and Just Got Lucky. At number 6 is a climb of 5 places from last week's 11, it's Bob Marley and the Wailers and Buffalo Soldier. Into the top 5, it's a fall of 2 places from last week's number 3, it's The Beat and Can't Get Used to Losing You. At number 4, up 4 from last week's 8, it's Yazoo and Nobody's Diary. And at number 3, it's last week's number 1, it's New Edition and Candy Girl. At number 2, climbing 3 places from last week's number 5, it's Wham and Bad Boys. Which means it's a new number 1 this week. Last week's number 7, it's The Police and Every Breath You Take. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 29th of May, 1983. It's all right, isn't it?
It's not a bad chart at
all. I know, we say it every week.
I know, but that's the thing. Every week, the chart seems to be pretty good in the 80s.
Yeah, there's some solid gold classics. God, with the... I mean, I'm not even one can in yet. Limey, oh, Charlie's.
Oh, we've got plenty more to go as well,
haven't we just? Haven't we just? Looking outside the top 10, we've got Style Council and Hot Chocolate. Funboy 3.
What's Funboy 3?
Funboy 3. They were a group that sort of had the Bananarama in as well.
All right.
And Bananarama sort of became a spin-off group from Funboy 3.
I didn't know this.
They did The Lunatics Have Taken Over the Asylum. That's one of theirs. I'm sure there's plenty.
Yeah.
We'll have a look later on the Tube of You. A Big Country in a Big Country, that's there. Keep Feeling Fascination, the Human League. Yes, it's some good stuff there. I guess that's why they call it the blues. Flashdance.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so there we go. It's not a bad chart at all.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So War Games then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do initial impressions or should we just go straight into the film and talk about it?
What I will say is I can't remember it.
Right.
I mean, I can now.
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah.
But it was a film that I remember owning it on video, and it was like a new 80s film for me.
Oh, that's good, though.
So it was, because I cannot remember it for the life of me, so going to watch it was great.
Nice. Oh, that's fantastic. That's really good. That's really good.
Your initial impression?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
I don't know why I went really high-pitched then. Your initial impression?
No, I loved it then, and I still love it now. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with it, I suppose, but it's a 37-year-old film.
Mm.
You know, the leads are great. Well, actually, most of the actors are great.
But, yeah.
It's a good story as well. I really liked it.
All right, then.
Let's go deeper into War Games, then.
Let's go deeper into War Games.
Okay, then. Regular listeners will know at this point in the podcast... Podcast? What the fuck is a podcast? Regular listeners will know at this point in the podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film, and he gets as many seconds as the film has minutes.
Mm.
So, Matthew, how long was the film?
It was 1:54.
1:54. Okay, then. So you get 1:54.
Yeah, and in my defence as well, because this is the first week we've done something, we watched this together this week, didn't we?
Yeah.
So I had very little time in which to write this.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Anywho, right, okay. So you have 1:54. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's have the jingle. And you're off.
The film starts with two Air Force members being put through a test as to whether people would actually fire if called upon. As a result, it is decided that people should be taken out of the loop when orders are given. We then meet David, who is clearly brilliant but gets into trouble at school a lot. Showing off to the beautiful Jennifer, he demonstrates his hacking skills by changing grades at their high school. In trying to hack a computer company later on, he accidentally stumbles upon Whopper and enters into a war game with it by finding out a shit ton about its creator Falcon and finding the back door. He stops playing the game when he sees on the news that the government took it seriously. Not long after that, he's arrested and taken to a secret mountain base and accused of espionage.
Ooh.
He manages to escape and sets about finding the creator of Whopper, Falcon, who isn't actually dead. Jennifer manages to join him for the ride and they track him down. He seems to have lost all hope in humanity and the couple now leave. We find out that David has never learned to swim and, let's be honest, probably never had sexy time either. Falcon has a change of heart and helps the duo get back to the secret base, only to find that Whopper's carried on with the game and shit has got very real. They convince everyone that it's a game until Whopper tries to find the codes for itself. They stop the computer by teaching it through the medium of noughts and crosses that no one can win. The computer sees this and the day is saved. David and Jennifer leave and have sexy time, probably.
Okay.
All right, the last bit I added myself.
Yeah,
but...
Exactly, that's fine. Right, so just remind us, how long was the film?
1:54.
1:54. You did it in, drum roll, pretty much 1:19.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's more than 30 seconds under.
So does that mean you've got a drink for 30 seconds? No.
Well, I mean, you could. Nobody would understand the rest of the podcast.
No, this is it.
I'll just have a big old slurp.
That's crazy. I think because I just finished watching it, I went, right, let's go.
Cool hell.
Yeah, like or you maybe your timer got hacked by Whopper.
Ooh. Oh, God, don't get all crazy on me. Yeah, as you were saying, this is the first one we've actually watched together for the podcast.
It's taken us 21 episodes to sit and watch a film.
And, yeah, it was nice. It was nice to do it.
It really was. Because you sort of see the live reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, it's good. Yeah, so the film itself then, did you enjoy?
I did very much enjoy.
Good.
I was really worried that I wasn't going to, because a lot of the films we've done, and the ones that I've seen, you kind of know what you're going to get, or you've got an idea of what you're going to get. But this, I was like, I can't remember it
That's great, that's great. It's a new 80s film for you.
It really is. And do you know, I didn't even mind the tech and stuff like that being old-fashioned. It just it was a product of its time, but it also was a good product of its time. I'd still watch it now.
Instantly recognisable as products of their time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the big, you know, the massive floppy disks.
Oh, my God, yes.
The dial-up, having to put the phone into like a little cradle to be able to contact another computer somewhere else in the world. It seems so primitive now. But that's what it was.
I found an old denim jacket of mine a few months ago, and inside the top pocket was a 3.5-inch floppy.
Ah, the solid plastic.
Yeah, the solid ones.
Yeah, I think I've still got a load of them somewhere. I still got mini discs right behind me.
But that's the thing, though. We're never going to actually see what's on them because we probably haven't got the technology to. I wouldn't know where to put my floppy.
Well, I mean, that's another issue, but let's not go there. So, yeah, looking at the film, we're instantly into, you know, a Cold War scenario. The weird thing is, you know, you don't see the lead, if you like, for a good 4 or 5 minutes or whatever it is.
I'll correct you on that because I clocked this. Yeah. 14 and a half minutes,
is
I think.
Really
yeah, it's about that. It's nearly 15 minutes. I wrote it in my notes, like, how come we don't see Matthew Broderick for ages?
I mean, that's quite a brave thing to do.
Mm.
Fair enough. I mean, then, I like
he is in it for everything else then, though, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's in pretty much every scene after that. And quite a young guy as well, having that much to do in a film. That's fantastic.
He's about early 20s, isn't he?
Imagine so, yeah. Yeah. Wowzers. Yeah, so as I say, we're in a Cold War, typical idea of an 80s military base, the big map screen surrounding the walls with lots of people facing
They should
it.
Have done that. Well, they called the machine the Whopper. Why not call the other one the Big Map?
Yeah, nice. I like it. See, let us in. We'll rewrite scripts for you. It's fine. So, yeah, it's all pre-Star Wars defense, the whole Ronald Reagan thing, and the computers with the big whirring disc. I love it. I think it's great. I mean, to me, that was cutting edge, and it's still...
Yeah, it's crazy to think, though, that all that processing power is done in our phones right now.
Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably, what, I don't know, 16 gig of... Or maybe not even 16 meg of, like, RAM or something. Crazy.
Wasn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but something like Bill Gates, wasn't it, said something like you're never going to need more than 128 meg of storage or something?
Where's he now?
Yeah, never hear him anymore.
Familiar cast. They're everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's someone who looks familiar and some amazing fucking moustaches.
Like mine right now.
Yes, you hippie bastard.
Well, okay, I did it for a part, but I decided to keep the moustache for tonight.
Okay, that sounds weird.
No, I just thought it looks very 80s. I thought, come on, we're recording an 80s adventure tonight. I'm keeping my 80s tash.
Nice. An 80s porn tash.
Well.
You're damn tootin'. Oh, dear. Yeah, Whopper. Interesting name.
Yeah.
Stupid the big name. Map. I wonder if the film was sponsored by Burger King by any chance.
Oh, don't say that. I want a Burger King now.
Yeah. So we got these stereotypical military guys, a very old school general who's basically a buffoon, hates the idea of machines taking over.
I love him. I love him, though.
But he is a stereotype, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he is. But you see it a lot in the 80s films, don't you, with the generals and the...
Yeah.
You know, again, when you get to the nerds later, they're stereotypical nerds.
Goddamn nerds. And so many smokers. So many smokers. I love it.
Do you know what? It's getting more prevalent. The more we do this show, the more we watch 80s films, the more smoking I'm noticing. I'm like, I didn't notice that as a kid.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's big and clever and it makes you look cool.
It's how it should, and it smells lovely.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. You're talking to a couple of ex-smokers here. Good days.
Yeah.
Don't smoke, kids. It's bad for you.
Well, we didn't smoke in the 80s, did we?
No. No.
Did you smoke in the 80s?
No, probably not.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it 80s? I remember exactly when I started smoking. I remember exactly who started me smoking.
Right, there we are. They well, I won't say his expose.
Name on, yeah, I won't say his name on this podcast because he listens to this podcast.
Oh, right, okay.
So you know exactly who it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do now.
Thanks, mate. Well, yeah, I think we were doing West Side Story at school at the time.
Oh.
Down the back alley, as it were.
Right.
For a fag.
So just
and that
so
means something else in Britain.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, it means something else over here.
Yeah. Anywho, yeah.
So was that like a vocal warm-up to go and sing West Side Story to go and have a cigarette?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the film.
Back to the film.
Yeah. So we get Bueller. Sorry, David. He's so Bueller. I mean, he does Bueller stuff. You know, he goes onto his school computer and changes his grades. It's exactly what Bueller does.
Yeah.
But he's great.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get no argument from me. I think Broderick is cracking.
Yeah, Jessica Parker.
Mr. Jessica Parker and Ali Sheedy as well. I mean, we'll talk about the cast in a bit, but yeah, just phenomenal.
Yeah, they are great. They're great. And it's fun. The film is fun. I really like, even though it's like a pretty serious thing and it's a bit out there, it's a bit crazy. It is a lot of fun.
Well, there was that thing. I was listening to another podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish, and it's phenomenal. If you've not heard it, check it out. It's brilliant. And there, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I clocked it because we were doing War Games. There was something about in the 70s, this general or something like that, he got an alert saying that, you know, the missiles had been fired and stuff, and he woke up. He didn't wake his family up. It was like half an hour. He sat there thinking everyone's going to die. And it was a computer running a simulation, a war game, if you like.
And he didn't wake his family up?
Well, no, he kind of thought, I don't want them to wake up and have their last half an hour or something in complete and utter panic thinking they're going to die.
Wow. I mean, that's...
But surely that's... I mean, if that was in the 70s and this was 83...
That's got to be an inspiration. It?
I would say so.
Yeah. What a lovely thing to do in the sort of, what a sort of crazy romantic.
Yeah, what, not wake your family up?
Yeah,
I'd wake mine up and go, oi!
We're going to die! Quick panic!
Break open the good champagne! Yeah, because I have good champagne.
Prosecco!
Yeah, break open the Prosecco.
Oh, God, no, that's bad for the podcast. Well, yeah, that has to have been the inspiration for it, surely.
I couldn't find any reports, but you'd think.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Cold War, wasn't it? So I suppose there's lots of stories like that around.
And you don't realise how much the Cold War and things like that feature into 80s films until you revisit them years later as an adult and go, oh.
But, you know, we lived through this heightened after, you know, the whole JFK thing with Cuba I remember the 80s being all about the Cold War, blah, 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 blah. But it wasn't really relevant to me because I was so young.
No, I was watching Grange Hill.
See, old Zamo on the drugs and what was his name? Found dead in the back of the car?
I can't remember. No. I just remember the opening.
Now, that's a different story. So, it wasn't relevant to us because we were so young. But looking back now and looking at all these references in films and on TV series from the time, geez, it was a real worry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Scary. But, you know, we had Thatcher and Reagan in charge of the world.
So everything was going to be all right.
Fucking hell. Let's move on. Falcon. His whole Joshua Whopper thing.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's a bit of a knob, though, isn't he?
Yeah. But then...
Because when they turn up, you know, they're like, help us save the world. And he's like, well, no, the world's doomed.
Yeah. I suppose he's just stuck in the rut, isn't he? That having lost his family and stuff. Yeah. I sort of see it, but yeah, a bit of a knob.
I suppose the only thing I've got a bit of a problem with, and I think we discussed this afterwards, he does a complete 180 very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes you think, is there a longer cut of the film?
Yeah, well, I think there is.
Is there?
I think there absolutely is.
Even longer than 1 hour 54. Jesus. Okay. I mean, jumping around all over the place, really, because it's just what we do.
It's like a Billy Connolly tale.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, once he gets in touch with Joshua's a fucking stalker, isn't he? He never gives up. Calls him back.
Yeah. All right, I want to play the game now. Hang on a second.
Whoa. Yeah, I haven't stopped playing. What? We've all been with women like that. But I like the fact it needs to learn. It's got that great 80s computer voice.
Mm-hmm.
Superb. It's full of stereotypes. And the story is a bit predictable, I suppose, but I still love it. You know, the FBI goons everywhere arresting him in broad daylight. Not subtle in the slightest.
No, no, no. Straight into the van.
Broderick saves the day, obviously.
He does. And I like the A-team manner in which he does it, especially when he's like, when he's in the cell and he's like, what can I see around me? And, you know, nice. He manages to hack the system. And
nothing was impossible.
Nothing was impossible.
He saves the day. The world doesn't get blown up. And it's your typical 80s, that sort of film. I love it.
Yeah, and then we move on to the sequel. Did you know there was a sequel?
A sequel?
Yeah, genuinely, there's a sequel called War Games The Dead Code, which came out in 2008.
Straight to video?
Yeah. So, I mean, they were in no way capitalising on the success of the 1983 film.
Of course, you're, why wait? Let's release another film 25 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. 25 years later, let's have the sequel, which is going to go direct to video. I've not seen it. I don't really intend to.
Really? I thought it'd be high on your list.
Well, give it 20 years. if you hear Darren and Matt's Naughty's Adventure.
Now that's got a ring to it.
20 years on, geez.
War Games. It's almost worth hunting down. Have you looked at any reviews or anything?
No, I haven't.
I bet they're awful.
I'm going to go out on a limb with you and say I'm guessing they're not great.
Yeah. Anything else? I mean, the only other thing I've got to say really is I thought the end was a bit low key. It was all a bit sort of, it was just in that one set, which is a great set.
Mm-hmm. A very expensive set.
Was it really?
Apparently, I think it was the most expensive set to date. And it was, I think that whole set cost $1 million.
Wow. Well, no reason not to use it then.
No. Listen, guys, we're going to do something else, but, you know, we're staying here.
We've paid for this fucker. We're going to use it.
Yeah, I don't know. What would you change then? I mean, how would you, like, you have the missiles launch or something?
Yeah,
or?
I think so. I mean, obviously, the computer's learning all the time, blah, blah, blah. For me, the fact that it's just so small, it's very insular ending. I want to see the rest of the world, maybe not panicking because it's not actually happening, but if it does happen, you know, they launch the missile, and maybe he has to teach the computer to actually do it, to take the missiles out. Rather than just talk about it and just show them in the thing panicking and then being okay again.
See, I had a double ending anyway.
Did you?
Because
at your age?
I thought that the film was finishing after they did convince the general.
Yeah,
so then when it started up again, I was like, oh.
Ooh.
I wasn't expecting
lulled
that.
Lulled you into a false sense of security.
It did, Darren. It's a bit like the horror film when they go and look at the baddie that's on the floor and he's back.
He's back. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted a little bit more, really. It's a bit too small scale. It's all implied rather than shown. But it didn't really take the shine off the film for me. I still loved it.
Great. Well, I suppose should we go grab some more beers and come back and do the cast.
We'll do the do with the cast. This month's special Patreon episode is available now. This week we are going to be looking at some favourite songs.
The year we're looking at is 1981.
It's been very, very hard.
I just want you to edit it so you've just gone, it's very hard.
That's one of your top five songs of the whole fucking year.
And what a drum solo.
Yeah. And it's one of those songs that when I do, it's guaranteed to get people up on the floor dancing.
See, this is going to be a 30-40 minute advert for Darren, the ultimate 80s tribute.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, did you say something?
Nothing. No. It's a montage song.
You make my dreams come true. Put off the top spot by What the Matter You. Hey, girl, I don't know. I mean, that's a fucking injustice. The feeling is gone, only
you and I, it means nothing to me. I mean, the one I almost put on the list, I'd said to Darren earlier, was Rabbit by Chaz and Dave. So there we are. Those are our top fives from 1981.
All 80s Adventure Patreon special episodes are available via subscription from the website patreon.com/80sadventure or check out 80sadventure.co.uk for further details. And we're back! Yes, we are. Part two of our little look-see at War Games.
The first one.
The only one. The only one made in the 80s, anyway. Let's put it that way.
Okay. The only film. Let's be honest, the only film.
Yeah, the proper one.
No offence to those involved with War Games 2.
No, no. If you want to give me a part in War Games 3, I'm very happy. Yeah, I suppose, though, before we look at the cast, mm-hmm. we have to raise our glass.
We lost an
absolute icon yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we're going to raise a glass to the one and only Sir Sean Connery, who mm-hmm. died yesterday at the age of 90.
Bless him.
Yeah, one of our biggest stars ever.
I'm saying this, though. Love Sean Connery. What I really liked that he did, though, was when he got sick of the biz,
yeah,
just lived out his life. He just kind of... You know, I'm going to enjoy myself. And he did. I think his last film was probably early 2000s.
Right. Yeah, and a nice guy from what people were saying. And saw them interviewed on the news and they'd worked with him.
I think he said the only thing that would have got him out of retirement would have been an Indiana Jones film.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, fucking hell, Lucas, you idiot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, Sean Connery, that's a real shame. Real shame.
One of the things I always remember was, they said, my favourite comedian in the world is Billy Connolly. Mm-hmm. And he tells a story about Sean Connery, and apparently he said to him, "Billy, you're a shite for sure eyes." I love that. Anyway, back to the cast of War Games then.
Yeah, I mean, I've not looked extensively, but there's a couple of interesting, not alternative castings as such.
Yeah.
But apparently the main inspiration for the character of the Professor was Stephen Hawking.
For the Professor?
Yeah.
Not the voice of the computer. Sorry.
Well, he was originally approached to appear in the movie, but he declined because he didn't want the producers exploiting his disability. Also, the part of the Professor was originally written with the idea of... So these are conflicting reports.
Right.
Of somebody playing the part, and I can't imagine this, but one of the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah.
So they basically wanted a British guy.
It was originally written with the idea of John Lennon playing the part. And that was in...
When did they write the script then?
This is it. This was in 79. They were in the planning stages.
Okay.
And of course, he was murdered in December of 80.
Yeah, 80, yeah. Okay. I wouldn't say he was an actor at all, though.
No.
A very talented man, obviously. Okay. That's interesting.
And a bit of reverse casting. Mm-hmm. This is the movie that Matthew Broderick starred in, as opposed to being in Family Ties as Alex Keaton.
Oh.
There we are. Bit of a Jay Fox thing there.
Yeah. Interesting.
So if he'd have taken Family Ties, we may never have got big Michael J. Fox. That was really one of his big breaks.
Michael J. Fox went into War Games.
Maybe.
Yeah. Ooh, alternative realities there.
I can see him in this, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
I think it would have been more, I'm not saying he's a funny actor, but more comical with Michael J. Fox.
He would have been more sort of, Michael J. Foxy.
Yeah, fish out of water.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Broderick is a bit more cool-headed, I think. Yeah.
I mean, he's still nerdy and he's not particularly streetwise, but interesting.
Yeah, well, let's talk about David then in more detail.
I think he's great.
There we go.
There you go.
Right, so moving on from there. No, I agree with you, though. I think he is he's infinitely watchable, is Broderick.
He is another, for me, Jay Fox. He's of that era, I suppose purely down to Ferris Bueller. But even watching him in this, you can see he has that likability. He has that sort of vulnerability. He's a very funny actor as well, as you see. But also when he turns on the series, he's very good. There's a film, a Project X,
mm-hmm.
And in that, it's a very, very upsetting film. You've ever seen it?
No, I haven't. No,
I think I only watched it the once because it upset me so much. But from what I remember, they experiment on monkeys and they put them on, you know, those things that spin around. And
yes, it's like, now ringing a bell. It's really ringing a bell.
These chairs and mm-hmm. they basically kill off one of his best friend monkeys, if you like. From what I remember, being really upset by it. But in that, he is, you know, he's a serious actor and it's fucking brilliant. But then he can turn on the funny really quickly in things like Ferris Bueller and the producers and stuff like that. Great.
How old was he when he did this?
We're doing the quiz already.
No, I'm just, just...
Well, according to the film, 17.
But, you know, real life.
Are you going to tell me he's like 24, 25?
No, well, he was... I mean, I'm guessing they filmed it in 82.
Yeah, probably.
He was born in 62, so he was 20 years old and almost, carrying a film.
Yeah.
That's a lot of 20 years old.
Because he is in pretty much every scene, isn't he? Apart from, like, the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. First 14 and a half minutes. I did, honestly, I checked it out.
Really? 14 and a half minutes without him?
I checked out because I was watching it. I was like, when's Broderick turning up? And it's 14 and a half minutes.
Oh, wow.
Roughly.
Okay. But then he's in...
He's in everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's an hour 54, as we know, so...
Well, that nice. Yeah. She's great as well.
Oh, Ally Sheedy. I've always loved Ally Sheedy.
Oh, yes. For all the right reasons, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. She's been in so many good things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, in this... She looks very different in this.
Yeah.
You know, this is more... I guess I want to say this is more the... She doesn't tend to play the I'm not calling her a wet love interest, but sort of... Because she's got a lot of passion behind her, isn't she? She's very forceful.
Yeah.
But she I think beyond this, Ally Sheedy goes beyond that with the character she plays. Does that make any sense?
None at all.
Right, okay.
Are you talking about specifically in this film or normally?
Like normally, in the other films, she I don't know, like say Breakfast Club.
Right.
You know, she's a very, very different character in that, you know, and she's just a great, great actress.
Well, I'm not used to seeing her as, I mean, it's only sort of, you don't get much of it in this film. It's sort of more hinted at than actual sort of on screen. It's that there's that, she likes the sort of danger element. She's very much the innocent, sweet girl, but there's also that little side to her. It's like, actually, you know, thinking about it, change my grade. Let's play this game. Come on, let's live a little. There's that sort of naughty aspect to her, and I really like that.
And she's so into him.
Yeah, she really is.
She's so into him, but then he's oblivious, as most of us men are, when a woman is into us.
Mm. Yeah.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. I was always crap at picking up the signals. Really crap.
Just phenomenal. She's great.
And it's good that they wrote it in that she does meet him at the airport. Because otherwise she wasn't going to be in the end, I suppose.
No, exactly.
Unless she got arrested. But I'm glad she did that, because otherwise it would just been, well, an end without her, and that wouldn't have been right.
It would not have been right, no. The parents, should we quickly touch upon them?
Yeah.
We did sort of mention in part one, a bit forgettable.
Absolutely forgettable. Like we say, I don't know if there's a longer cut or a different version of the script or whatever, but played by William Bogart and Susan Davis. Instantly forgettable. They're not sort of...
But they're not given a lot, are they?
No, so they're not. That's absolutely. The thing. Oh, no, I'm not taking anything away from their performances at all. But there's as a fully formed, functional family, if you like, it's just not there.
What it could have been... Here we go. This is where we write movies. They could have had it where they were almost like telephone parents. Like, they ring him up every now and then. Like, voices at the end of the phone. They didn't need any more than that, really. Yeah. Because that's how much they feature. It could have been, mom calling or dad calling or something like
mom?
That.
Mom? Oh, mum.
But it could have been them calling to check up on him all the time. We didn't actually need to see them.
Or they could have just been there more.
Okay, one of the two. What do you think? Please email us at podcast@acesadventure.com.
So that's the parents, really. Just...
Then we need to look at the cabinet, I suppose. The guys there,
War room.
The war room, I mean, let's talk about, I think, potentially one of our favourites.
Yeah.
Is General Berenger, which is Barry Corbin.
Yeah, the great Barry Corbin.
I love him.
He's got some of the best lines in this film.
Yes.
Sitting there, chewing his baccy, spouting all this stereotypical dialogue, military bluff, and brilliant, just fantastic.
But he so convincingly as well. He's not tongue-in-cheek. No, it's very straight. Like,
piss on a spark plug.
I'd piss on a spark plug if it would save us or something like that. What a line.
Yeah, he's full of lines.
And he's a great... It's not a foil, but he's the one everyone has to...
Yeah.
You know, he's in charge.
He's in charge. He's a typical military buffoon, but he's not a buffoon.
Well, that's it.
Old school.
Also, being of a generation where, perhaps my parents' generation or whatever else aren't so good with computers and things like that, you got a sense of some of these older guys in the war room that did not know what the hell the computers were doing and didn't understand computers.
Yeah. And because they don't understand it, they just dismiss it.
Yeah, yeah. Was it something about a pile of microchips or something like that?
Silicon something, he said, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's that typical old school meets new school, I suppose.
Speaking of old school, though, at the beginning of the film, the two guys that were turning the keys, you pointed this out. I didn't clock it.
I completely didn't realise he was in it until we watched it today. Michael Madsen.
It's such a young Michael Madsen.
Yeah, the great... I love Michael Madsen.
He's great, isn't he?
He's superb. And he did Celebrity Big Brother in this country.
Yes, he did.
Crazy. But yeah.
That was the second time, though, I watched that bit.
Right.
I didn't clock it.
Didn't clock him at all.
Until you went, is that Michael Madsen? I went, oh, fuck yeah, it is, yeah. Didn't clock it.
Yeah. He's a great actor. I really like him.
That's got to be one of his first jobs, surely.
I would imagine so, yeah.
I mean, it's not like, because now if they put him in there, it would be a cameo.
Well, after the ear scene.
Yes.
Reservoir Dogs.
But he's so recognisable now, how he looks now, as opposed to how he looked then, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's a very young version of him, which I know it sounds stupid, but because he was younger. Younger.
Yeah, so that's Michael Madsen. Lots of other sort of people around.
Yeah, you've got McKittrick and his aide.
His aide,
I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. Although, there's Berenger's aide,
she's an advisor or something.
Yeah, there's lots of sort of people there's lots of people in there. But
you got that guy as well. I can't remember his name, but he's the one that works on the Whopper.
Yes.
And
the bald guy. And
he sounds just like, what did I say to you as we were watching it?
Huckleberry Hound.
He does,
Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't be surprised to look through his IMDb and see that.
And there we go. So, I mean, there's lots of other people that sort of littered the place, but nobody else really gets a chance to stand out.
Well, also you got John Wood.
John Wood, yeah. Of course, Falcon.
Yeah. Who I didn't know was coming back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right, no. But he's one of those faces as well, isn't he? He's a recognisable British actor.
Yes, yeah. Who I remember from Jumpin' Jack Flash. He's the lead male, basically, in Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Was he?
Yeah. He's great. I really like him.
Oh, my goodness. So he's born in the 30s. So, he's like in his early 50s when he was in this film.
Yeah, a very, very big British actor.
I bet he's done the bill. I bet you.
You can pretty much guarantee the bill, Casualty, and Doctor Who.
The Avengers.
You?
Yeah, the old Avengers, not the Marvel
Avengers.
Lady Hawk. Oh my goodness, that's a film I hadn't thought about. You never heard of Lady Hawk?
I don't know. Is it porn?
That is a film that has to go on a list. Well, funny enough, because it's Matthew Broderick.
Oh, okay.
Rutger Hauer, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, right.
You never heard of this?
No.
So,
Lady Hawk?
Yeah. Oh, this is brilliant.
Okay, no, never heard of it.
Right, well, okay, we have to put that on the list.
Okay.
It's a great cast, and it's mid-80s, so that has to go on the list. I'll show you the trailer later.
Okie dokie.
Anything else about the cast, Darren?
Not really. Not the cast specifically, but...
But there's a couple of faces you pointed out as well. Went, oh, God, he was
lots
in such
faces.
And such.
Yeah. And, obviously, what's his face from Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah, Strickland, James Tolkien.
Yeah, and the guy from V. And just lots of other faces that you recognise. You think, oh, I can't put my finger...
Yeah, and... This is how prep we are. And there was also the hotel manager from Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, you pointed him out, yeah. So there's lots of people that have popped up in this film.
Yeah.
They don't really get much to do, but they're there.
And it's just a good, solid cast.
Yeah.
I mean, even the parents are solid, but they just, as you say, don't get a lot to do.
Yeah. It's bizarre because the film's nearly 2 hours long, but it all centres around Broderick, really, doesn't it?
Do you think it's got a pacing problem?
No, I noticed. For me, it didn't really dip at all. I'm sure you could nip and tuck here and there. But
It did at the beginning a little for me, but I don't know that's whether because within the space of 5 hours, I watched the beginning twice.
Yeah,
so maybe that had a thing. But
yeah, for me, it didn't interrupt my enjoyment at all.
No.
At no point did I think, oh, fucking hell, how long are we in? So I suppose that's a good thing.
Excellent.
Yeah. We should, I suppose, name check the director here for because John Badham is not a name that I instantly think of.
And he wasn't the only director, was he?
Was he not?
No. Somebody else started this film.
Oh, it's another one of those, is it?
So Martin Brest started this film, but he was fired.
No, did you say why?
The original director was Martin Brest, and some of the scenes he shot are still in it, and he was fired due to creative differences.
It's always creative differences, isn't it? Yeah. Then John Badham took over, who, again, it's a name I'm not overly familiar with.
Not at all familiar with.
But when you look at his CV, he's responsible for Saturday Night Fever and Blue Thunder.
What?
War Games, obviously.
Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever, directed.
Wow.
Short Circuit, Stakeout, Bird on a Wire, another Stakeout.
Did you do Short Circuit too?
No.
Oh, well. Missed out.
Yeah.
Bird on a Wire, though. That
Bird
was,
on a Wire.
I saw that at cinema.
Is that the...
Mel Gibson, Goldie Hawn? I think I had my first kiss to that film in the back of the
cinema.
Did you? Yeah.
Just a kiss, was it?
Yeah, I was about 12.
And?
What?
This is Plymouth. Most 12-year-olds are fucking grandmothers by then.
I'm a man. How can I be a grandmother?
Well, you know.
But he's
you had
a
your
lot.
First kiss to Bird on a Wire.
I think so, yeah.
Tell us more.
Well, I remember going to the cinema. Oh, right. I remember going to the cinema. I think it was because we had two cinemas very close to each mm-hmm. other. I think it was the top cinema.
ABC.
Yeah, and I think it was the small screen.
Oh, yeah.
So screen 3.
Yeah.
And typical back row. And I think the first time I leaned in, I think we clanked teeth.
Nice.
So if you know who you are and if you're listening. Then,
I don't know. What's she called?
She's called Sarah. That's it.
That's all you're going to tell us? Yeah. Do you want she had one name?
Well, the thing is, I've not seen her since I was about 13, 14.
You're not Facebook stalked her?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Because I can't remember her last name. Yeah, so that happened. I think we clanked teeth. And then, yeah, that was Bird on a Wire for me.
Nice.
But I couldn't enjoy half the film because I was like, I just wanted to kiss the girl.
Yeah.
And you know when you can't really concentrate on the film because you're like...
You got wood?
No, well, I did... You got wood?
That might make it.
Anyway.
Anywho, should we have a break?
Yeah, let's have a break and then we'll come back and talk about the music and then we have to have... Ooh,
restart.
Restart of the quiz. Yeah. What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts? Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back. Yes, we are for the third part of our look at War Games.
All right over there, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm good.
A little giggle there. Just had the giggles.
Yeah, but we're back now and we're going to have a look at the music.
Mm.
And then...
Yes, quiz.
Quiz, reset the quiz. But anyway, we'll get to that. Musically, we're looking at a score written by Mr. Arthur B. Rubinstein. Who was a member of the group, the Beepers, apparently.
All right.
Which I'm not familiar with, but Yvonne Elliman was also a member by all accounts. The score, I really like it. Really like it.
I almost recognise it as in, you know, when you get certain composers' riffs mm-hmm. and things. I was like, yeah, I recognise this music, but I didn't know it was him.
Right. Yeah, it's...
I don't really know him.
Nope, me neither, to be fair. But, I mean, he's written lots of other things. Obviously working with the same directors as, you know, Blue Thunder and Stakeout and another Stakeout. Also done a couple of episodes of The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
And lots of other things. But the score itself, I really like it. It's dramatic. It's very appropriate to what is happening on screen. But if it's big and bold and militaristic, there's a big, bold military march or something, you know, it's very drummy.
Yeah, it was him in his room that was like a real 80s little... Yeah.
Then when we get to the kids... It's very synthy, 80s, electronic. It sort of mashes the two together. So at some points, it's electronic and full orchestra as well. And I really like it. It really, really works. It complements the action. It's big, bold, it's dramatic. When it's creeping around in the ducts and things, it's sort of creeping music. It's great.
He certainly worked, hasn't he? 115 credits.
Yeah.
The only bit about the music, and I think this was a bit of a curveball for both of us.
I know where you're going with this.
Was the title screen at the end?
It did. Those end credits were just bizarre. But there was a certain element of that as well, because I noticed it when they were crossing the river on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very sort of, I think I said to you, Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, it was Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, sort of on the Mississippi, on one of those boat, whatever they're called.
It just felt completely out of... I mean, I'd expect...
But the end credits was just bizarre. Very bizarre.
I would have expected the end credits to be something very synth, like We've Won and like, you know, like...
A John Parr song.
Yeah, or something like the end of Karate Kid, you know, like, you know, when you're alone.
Exactly,
you know,
song.
That sort of, yeah.
Yeah, a big, bold... apparently there was a song used that didn't make it into the film. Crosby, Stills and Nash recorded a song, War Games, and they only used it in the trailer.
Oh.
So I don't know why that was, but or whether it was one of their songs, it just happened to be called War Games. I don't know.
Do you know what would have been great? I mean, was it even written then? No, it wasn't even written then, but together Electric Dreams, that would have been perfect at the end.
Yeah, but that's also in a film anyway, isn't it? Electric Dreams.
Yeah,
not
Electric Blue. Yeah.
Anyone listening to this must think we just watch porn all the time, or did watch porn.
Yeah.
They're not wrong. Lockdown's a long old day when you're on your own. Yeah, talking of which, just to date this for you, we've just gone back into another fucking month.
Well, not yet.
On Thursday. Yeah, it was announced last night. So yeah, hopefully it won't interrupt any recordings of this, because we are in our bubble. But who knows? Bear with us. It could be a rough ride over the next month or so, but fingers crossed it'll be okay.
Yeah, and we've got some wonderful, wonderful films coming up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about next week's in a bit.
Well, you don't know what next week's is, do you?
But that's why I need you to talk about it, isn't it? Anything else musically? I mean, there's songs and stuff in there, but...
It's nothing I play, you know, I like listening to like the Back to the Future score, things like that. I wouldn't kind of go, I must listen to the War Games score, but it fit perfectly. It fit perfectly with the film.
What's there I really like. Yep. Nothing stand out. And again, it's a shame because there's no, you know, there's a couple of montage, or there's a montage in there.
There's a montage in there.
It's just a piece of music rather than a big song, a big number. There's no number when they're crossing the lazy river. And there's no song at the end, over the end credits. It's a shame.
But where's Cyndi Lauper when you need her?
Exactly.
Working on the Goonies, that's what she's doing.
On the Goonies. Oh, yeah, I meant to, because I listened to that podcast again the other day. I say the other day, a little while ago. And I think you said something like, if I didn't know it was from this film, I wouldn't know it was from the Goonies. And I didn't pull you up, because the fucking song is called The Goonies. That's funny.
I love it. It comes back to haunt me about 16 episodes later or something.
Fuck, you know.
I can't believe we're at episode 21 already.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, anything more to say about the music?
No.
Then we know where we're going, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eyes down for a full house. So, as Matt said earlier, we've reset.
Yes, we have. And you've won two batches in a row.
Yeah, two batches of 10. So. It's a clean start. We're back at 0-0 now. Who's going to win this batch of 10?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, let's find out. Do you want to go first or second? You said about maybe one of us doing odd numbers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So if I start this week, okay. So you do even numbers, I do odd numbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matthew is odd.
Well, not the first time that's been said. All right. Question number one for you, Darren. At the beginning of the film, when the vault was shutting, what is the sign on the wall, please?
Now there is a sign. Is it the same as the one in there? Cigarette ends only. I don't know.
Okay. I would have thought you'd have clocked this.
Did I?
Because I thought it was really glaring. Anyone urinating in this area will be discharged.
No, I didn't spot that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Maybe I was making notes of something else.
Because I kind of went,
bollocks.
Well, you're certainly discharging if you're urinating in the area, aren't
you? Yeah, exactly.
But it was quite a big sign, and you cut back to it a couple of times, so I was like, oh he's going to clock it. So,
I didn't clock that at all.
All right, then.
Okay, so that's one to you.
Well, let's just leave it there. Thank you very much.
Okay. First question for you. What brand of chewing tobacco does the general use?
Golden Virginia. I have no idea.
Red Man, apparently.
Well,
yeah.
One each.
Yeah, that famous brand of chewing tobacco. Yeah.
Okay. When David is playing a game in the arcade.
Yes.
What game is he playing?
Well, I mean, it's basically Space Invaders, but I think it's called... Oh, come on. Galaga.
Very good. That's not the question, though. Which company made Gallagher?
Midway.
There we go. I thought I'd kind of do one that you did.
Cheeky swine.
I know, right?
That's out of order. Right then. Question two. Can I do this?
Yeah, fuck it.
You did assign one. What's the clearance height of the door in the military base?
10.5
what?
Feet.
Well, actually, no, it's not.
It's not 10.5 metres.
No. 10.5 says, 10 and a half feet. It's not 10 and a half feet.
Okay.
So I need a much more accurate answer.
Well, the time says 10.5.
No, it doesn't. And I'm going to be really pernickety on this.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
It's 10 feet, 5 inches.
Okay.
10.5 feet would be 10'6".
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 10'5".
What do you think, listeners? If you think he's being unfair, please email into 10.
Podcast. 10.5 would be 10'6".
Does it say 10.5?
10'5".
Okay. Yeah. It actually says 10.5 feet.
It doesn't say 10.5.
All right.
All right. Question three from you then.
All right. Let's see.
This is payback now, isn't it?
How much was a pack of Bud in the shop that he went to?
$2.99.
No, $4.69.
Okay. So question three, as always from me, is a complete the quote.
Mm-hmm.
So your quote is, it's Jennifer and David.
Yep.
Jennifer says, he wasn't very old. David says, no, he was pretty old. He was 41. And Jennifer says, oh, yeah?
I can't tell you that because you were saying cheeky bastards at the same time over the top of it.
I said it after.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
So he wasn't very old. No, he was pretty old. He was 41. Oh, yeah? Oh, that's old.
Wouldn't have got it.
Yeah. Cheeky mare.
There okay. We are. So I lose by because Darren's being...
You lose by 1 inch. What? The rules is the rules.
The rules is the rules. But if I do show this to Darren later and he goes, oh, yeah, it does say 10.5, then we will revisit it.
Okay. If that, we can go and have a look again in a minute if you like. And if it does say that, then, yeah, we'll revisit.
Okay. I just don't want to lose again, Darren.
Yeah, concentrate more.
I did concentrate. I got 10.5.
Not 10.5. 10.5, 10.5, which is 10'6".
Can I tell you a secret?
Go on.
I pay particular attention to it because I saw you writing it down as soon as I saw the truck. As soon as I saw that clearance height, I went, he's going to use that as a fucking question. I'm going to write that down.
Nice.
That was honest to God's truth. I saw it. I was like,
right, we're not watching films together again. That's it.
I just saw you grab your bit of paper. Went, right, what's around? What's around at the moment? So by even if I'd have got that right, I shouldn't have got that right because actually I was reading the man, not the.
See. Hey, let's have a drink. Anyway.
There we go.
Fuck it. Shyster.
Oh man, yeah, it's good. Yeah. Good to start again.
Yes. Yeah.
On the back film. On the back foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good film, and I'm really relieved because I thought I was going to find it rubbish.
I'm glad you didn't.
I'm really glad I didn't.
But before we do this summing up, let's go to Last Orders.
Yeah.
Last Orders at the bar, please. Last Orders at the bar.
So you enjoyed the film?
I did.
You weren't convinced you were going to?
I wasn't, because it's one of those that, you know when you pick a film, you go, I'm really looking forward to watching that.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
I was. And yeah. I'm glad it didn't. As I said to you before we started, I used to really love this film. And I was scared that, well, not scared, but, you know, I was worried that it was going to ruin my memories of it. And it didn't. And for me, that's a real compliment.
I think it didn't just not ruin my memories. It built memories because I can't remember that fucking great. Thing.
Brilliant.
Was a new 80s film for
And
me.
You didn't hate it.
No, so no,
as,
not
as
at
a
all.
New film, basically, to you. You didn't hate it. I was.
No.
That's great.
And I know this is always a bar for me as well, is would I go back and watch it? And I would.
You would?
I would absolutely Brilliant. Go back and watch
that's
it.
That's a great compliment.
That's the thing, you know, give it a year down the line, be like, and you know what, I'm going to whack on War Games.
Nice.
You know, not that it's easy to find on Netflix or Amazon or anything like that, you know, because nothing ever is.
Not Flix.
Not Flix, yeah.
Can I watch your film? Not Flix.
I would definitely go back and watch it.
Good. Next question is then, I suppose, the score.
Yeah.
Always pondering.
I am pondering because I don't know.
I've not seen you like this before.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with it.
Right.
I don't want to go too high, I don't want to go too low. I want to be fair to it. It's basically, I think what the point is, by the time we get to this, some of the films I may have given a really high score to that probably aren't as good as this.
That's the thing, isn't it? The further we go into this journey, if you like.
It's about trying to be a bit objective, but again, just following your heart as well, because actually, let's get a bit wanky with this. The 80s, there's a lot of heart in the 80s films.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a lot of heart in this. There's nothing that, you know, the technology doesn't hold up, but the messages as well, you know, nobody wins in war and all that sort of
exactly.
stuff. Some great performances. Musically, as we said, it's fine. You know, I think I'm going to split down the middle a bit.
Oh, here we go.
7.5.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Like I say, I used to really love this film, and watching it now, it hasn't changed that. Like you say, there's a lot of there's a good message behind the film, which I hadn't thought of, but yeah, there is. The performances are great. The music is fantastic. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's nothing there that sort of I can't say that it stands out, because that's unfair to the composer. But it's not a John Williams score. Let's put it that way.
There's nothing you walk out whistling.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, the end is a bit of a letdown. But does it detract from the whole film? I don't think it does. And do you know what? I'm going to go 7.5 as well.
There we go. Solid 15.
Solid 15 for our Key to the Door show, number 21.
When you say 7.5, does that mean 7.6 or does that mean 7.5?
That means 7.5. Fucking hell. Here we go. This is going to rumble on for weeks now.
Oh.
And you know he's going to try and fucking shaft me at next week's quiz.
No.
I could have asked you, what was the code Joshua came up with?
Yeah, that would have been good.
Oh, maybe I should have done.
I memorized it.
Did you?
No.
See, I thought you would, because it was there so much, and I did memorize it, and I've forgotten it.
Nice,
but
I did memorize the Beetlejuice thing as well, but that's gone.
Oh yes, you did. Yeah.
I memorized the waiting number for Beetlejuice because I knew you were going to screw me on it.
But I didn't. I was nice. Well, you're the one who tried to screw me.
Actually, before we finish up, did you have any more questions?
Oh yeah.
I know we're jumping a bit, but hey.
Actually, I have a confession as well. That's a question. But I promise you I didn't look.
Okay.
What Space Invaders type game is David playing first see him?
No, well, if you've learnt it, you learnt it. That's it. Yeah.
What make is David's computer?
I don't know. Probably Atari?
No, it's IMSAI, I-M-S-A-I.
Right, okay. How many didn't follow orders?
How many? Oh.
So out of the what percentage of people didn't follow orders?
22%?
That was it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. What was it?
What grade did Jennifer get for Geometry 2?
Oh, I didn't notice. B.
D.
D, okay.
And my final one, what does WOPA stand for, Darren?
War Operations Plan... Assholes. I don't know. No,
very close. War Operation... Right. Plan response.
See, you wouldn't have given that to me, would you? Because there's no S on it.
There's no S on it.
Well, there's only one, Darren.
Oh, I love this. 21 episodes deep, and this is how petty we've got.
Yeah, you started it.
You started it. Your mum did.
Oh,
right, okay.
There had to be one.
And on that note.
And normally it's yours. Well,
On that note, would you like to hear what film we're covering next week?
No,
Darren?
Not doing any.
That's it. You
snag my mum.
You give it up after 10.5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not having it. Times two.
Times two.
Go on then, tell me what we're doing next week.
Okay, next week, the tagline is, what he really wanted was to spend Thanksgiving with his family. What he got were 3 days with the turkey.
What's Thanksgiving?
So it's where you give thanks, you sit around a table, you eat turkey, and you, so actually, next week is Thanksgiving.
Give thanks to me.
Oh, come on. And then we move into
who are you giving thanks to?
What are you giving
not
thanks?
Not fucking Boris Johnson.
No, definitely not.
Prick.
And then we move into our Woo-hoo! Christmas films.
Yeah, and we've got lots of Christmas films planned.
Oh, we cannot wait. We cannot wait. So next week we are doing a sort of Thanksgiving-y, as it says in the title.
I don't know what that is, but Matt says we have to.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And then we move into, we're doing four, aren't we?
Are we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
the whole
please.
Month of December, pretty much. Well, so long as current things don't interrupt. But hopefully they won't.
Hopefully fingers they crossed. Won't. If not, then stay tuned for Christmas 2021.
Or we'll just have fucking shitloads of Christmas films in 2021, yes. January, February, or March, whenever. But fingers crossed, we'll be okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've enjoyed this one.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And it was really nice watching it with you, actually.
Yeah, made a nice change. Even if you did cheat with the questions.
I didn't cheat. I just saw you writing.
And you still got it wrong, but never mind. Anyway,
this is going to go on all night, so we're going to let you guys go, I think.
Yeah.
So please get in touch. Did you enjoy the film? Have you enjoyed it? Am I right? Is Darren right?
I'm not going to again.
Please get in touch. Podcast at 80sadventure.com. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/80sadventure. Facebook.com/80sadventure.
Share us with all your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. The best thing you can do for us is share us with all your friends and say,
buy some fucking t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, buy a t-shirt as well. You know, you can do that as well. But that's it. So until next week, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy.
Next question is claiming speaking fucking English.